passionate, driven, enthusiastic, euphoric. This is who we are as entrepreneurs. But how we leverage these incredible attributes to dream and build businesses that scale and grow is what this podcast is all about. Hello, I'm attorneypreneur Josh Brown, and welcome to Franchise Euphoria. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. I'm thrilled to have back on the show Matt Miller from School Spirit Vending Franchise. Matt Miller's early career was as an Air Force pilot and advertising executive. And in 2007, he started his franchise company, School Spirit Vending, which has raised over $4 million for education since its inception. School Spirit Vending provides a proven and profitable business system for professionals looking to develop secondary income streams. Hello, Matt. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me on, man. I'm excited to two-peat, man.
To two-peat. There's not many people who've two-peated, I'm telling you. You were episode 50. Back in the day. Now we've got close to 200. And I remember being so enamored by your model. I mean, so here I am, you know, dealing with all these different franchise businesses. And I'm usually the one telling people, hey, you know, there are these other franchises that aren't just restaurants. You know, it's not just like every franchise is a restaurant. And then you come on and I'm like, what is this School Spirit Vending? And then I learn about it and I'm like, whoa, this is a really, really cool concept. For those who didn't tune in to episode 50 or haven't yet, do me a favor, do a quick recap on School Spirit Vending and what it is.
What we do is we provide hassle-free year-round fundraising for schools with our franchise model. We essentially help families who are looking to start businesses. In many cases, they want to own a business on a limited time commitment outside of their career, but don't know how. And of course, one of the benefits of a franchise model is to have a proven system that is working on your behalf that you just got to learn how to duplicate. So we teach families how to do what we do in schools within their area geographically. And in the process, we're able to raise money for schools. We're able to provide security and added income or secondary incomes that can become full-time incomes for families. And then we're also helping change kids around the country as well who are our customers and who interact with our machines on a daily basis.
Well, and one of the things I love about the concept is this whole idea that it can really start out, and for many people, it's a side hustle, right? I mean, it's truly the definition to many folks in your system of a side hustle, and that being that, you know, they may have other full-time jobs, but as they get going with it, they can earn, they can do fairly well so long as they're, you know, that there's obviously no guarantee, but they can earn some side money, by going into your franchise system. I've always thought that was interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the cool things. I mean, that's how I started. I was working full time my career in the advertising industry. And before that, as a pilot, like you mentioned, in the Air Force, I couldn't just step off and stop doing what I was doing and hope that a business worked. So I started SSV on a part time basis, a couple days a month to begin with on the side. And then nights and weekends, we got our entire family involved along the way in order to divide and conquer the different tasks that needed to be done. And over 3.5 years, put this thing together to where at that point in time, this is now almost 7 years ago, I was able to walk away from my full-time career as an advertising executive, which I had been doing for 10 years at the time, just to full-time business. And we've got folks on our team where both spouses are working and they're taking advantage of some vacation time and nights and weekends or whatever to put this together. And as time goes on, as they're doing both, options come about, because once you've got some more income and some more security and stability, then, you know, we all have more flexibility and might possibly change up a little bit about what we do when that occurs. And so it's really, really fun to see families, most of which have never owned a business before, join our team and then learn that process, and to see them grow and flourish and change. And, you know, to be just a little part of that is a really good feeling.
Well, and for those who are listening who didn't listen to episode 50, go ahead and go to iTunes and tune into that episode. You'll get a lot more of the background. But, you know, ostensibly, just like Matt said, I mean, you know, this is a franchise system where vending machines, proprietary vending machines, are set up in schools where kids can get school spirit stickers and the like, not food vending machines, but just school spirit vending machines. And there's a huge component of giving back to the community, which is really fantastic. But for this episode, what I wanted to do was really hone in on the process of Matt going through the franchise process, you know, going through that making that switch from being a business where he's just growing to now he's part of a franchise system. And really, we're going to take a few minutes to dive into that for the rest of this episode. Tell me, Matt, how many locations do you have right now?
We've got 106 currently. We'll have 109 by the end of the week.
Okay, you want to know something fascinating? I'm going to throw some trivia at you. How many locations do you think you had when you came on my show, episode 50?
Probably around 50.
Well,
is my guess.
When I went back and listened to it, you said 13 locations.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's insane. That's tremendous growth. That's fantastic.
We had been a distributorship model previous, and when you and I talked, we were still in the transition from bringing our existing distributor team over. They had another month or two yet to go through that process before we closed that opportunity. So we actually had about 40 or so businesses that we were working with at the time, most of which did transition to become franchisees. But we have grown 66 franchises in the last 2 years since we officially started franchising, meaning there are people that didn't know about us before that have gotten involved since we became a franchise 2.5 years ago. So very, very fast growth. It's been a blast, and it's a real blessing to see that there's a lot of people responding to what we're doing.
Well, and I'm not sure there's many franchise systems out there in the U.S. that are growing at a faster clip, frankly. It's hard to do that. So kudos to you guys. Let's talk a little bit. You know, I want to talk about that fast-paced growth and how that's been for you. But before we get there, just take a couple minutes. What was the transition like for you? What were some of the challenges that you experienced from the transition, going from the distributorship model to the franchise model?
Sheer fright and terror. No, here's the thing, guys. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd be heading a franchise system when this whole thing started 10 years ago, last month. It wasn't even on my radar. But we started growing, especially in the South. We started the business in Texas, where we're based. And we slowly started growing from, you know, geographically from there, word of mouth and family and friends and all that type of thing. And then we kind of hit a point where we stagnated a little bit. And I had realized that mentally, the speed of the group is determined by the speed of the leader. And I had stopped growing mentally as a person. I had stopped pushing myself and getting myself around others that could help me get better. And so the team had stopped. And so I made a conscious effort about 3 years ago or so to start attending conferences, to start getting out there and educating myself and feeding my brain. Well, along the way, I ran into a mutual friend of ours by the name of Aaron Walker at a Dave Ramsey Entree Leadership event in Nashville. And meeting Aaron 3 years ago completely changed my life, because I shortly thereafter hired him as a business coach. He has been there, done that in business now for 35 plus years. He's bought and sold, I think, 8 or 10 businesses along the way, multi-millionaire. And to have him as an outside expert to be able to talk with once a week and to analyze my thoughts and to give me suggestions from his background versus just purely mine changed everything. And he's the one that said I needed to really ramp things up and spend more time focusing on growing the business because there was such a huge opportunity out there. And as I started looking into that here about 2.5 years ago, I realized that it was going to cost some money for me to do that, which I didn't have. We had gotten paid purely based on royalties at that point. And the lead time between somebody getting started and when we actually recouped our initial investment in somebody was several years. And for me to then try to ramp that up significantly as a franchise or you know, in another way, didn't make any sense unless I could make some money on the front end. And so at all, and he said, you know what, Matt, you really need to be a franchise in order to do business successfully where you want to grow, because many of those states are registration states, meaning that their environments are such that you actually have to be registered with the state in order to sell franchises within their borders. And so it all made sense. It all worked out. But, you know, I didn't have any reserve at the time, so I didn't know where the money was going to come from to do all that we needed to do or anything. So we just kind of said, okay, we'll trust God that it's going to work out, and we started going. And it has been a wild ride, but it's been a huge blessing, and it's exciting to see where things are going by taking that step and now opening up an entirely new world of states in the U.S. that we can now do business in.
No, that's tremendous. And, you know, Aaron Walker, Big A, as we all know him, he's a great guy. And he's really done so much and seen a lot in business. And I think sometimes just having that new voice, you know, that person who can help you right in that moment, who you can bounce things off of, or who in many cases can just say, hey, you know, you're getting in your own way, man. Get out of your own way. And that can be powerful. And I think that holds a lot of people back. I know I see it with franchise systems where, you know, one of the challenges is you're so used to the grind of entrepreneurship and the grind of focusing on a micro level, you know, in terms of the details of each of your locations. And then when you become a franchisor, you really need to focus on the macro. You really need to focus on where you're going, and as opposed to where you are, and then how you can continue to add value to those franchisees. And it's really a mind shift. I mean, did you kind of experience that as well?
Oh yeah, big time, big time. Now, I will tell you something that a lot of folks in your audience may think is counterintuitive. I did not really join the franchise community as a franchisor, you know, like with the IFA or those types of things, here until actually February a year ago. I intentionally stayed away for a while because what I didn't want to do was build my business with groupthink behind it, if that sure makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't want to model it after something else. I wanted to create something completely new. So I trusted my attorney and Aaron and some of the other advisors that I had to make sure that we were doing what we were supposed to be doing legally and otherwise. But I intentionally stayed away from all that to begin with, just because I wanted to build this fresh from an outsider's perspective. Now I'm a part of that organization and have the ability to go in and pick and choose the things that I know that we need help with or guidance on, or that we can do better for our franchisees, instead of from the very beginning being immersed in the middle of all that, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And tell me this. I mean, I know one of the biggest challenges really for any business, but especially in the franchise context, is as you continue to grow and as you continue to add franchisees, you have to make sure that you have your not only your operational structure, but your organizational structure in place, which means you got to have people. You got to have people, because when your franchisees have questions, or just dealing with onboarding of prospective franchisees, or dealing with other issues that are bound to come up, tell me about how that was from going where you were primarily doing everything to now building a team.
Well, first off, most of our team still is decentralized, and many of them are contractors that make their own schedules and do their own thing, and then work part-time on our behalf, you know, in their given area of expertise. But, you know, we have brought some folks on board to help with specific tasks as we've needed to. The goal really being me spending as much time as I can in my giftedness as possible, because, you know, we're all wired differently and we all have gifts that, you know, we really need to focus on if at all possible. And so, yeah, I brought in bookkeepers. I brought in a personal assistant. I brought in some marketing folks. I've hired a couple coaches along the way. Aside from Aaron, hired a guy by the name of Scott Beebe, who has a company called My Business on Purpose. Scott is all about teaching systems and processes and helping companies put those in place. So I hired him, and he came in and spent months with me, you know, putting a lot of that back end stuff into place, which, to be honest, makes my head hurt, but I know I need.
Yeah.
In fact, I always joked with Scott every time we talked, dude, let me take my Tylenol here before we jump in.
Well, Scott's got to be in pretty high demand. Scott's a good guy, great guy, but I had a chance to meet him at a couple of conferences we were at. But he's got to be in high demand, especially with that skill set, because that is so needed, especially in the franchise context.
Oh, no doubt. And what's crazy is, and what I loved about our time together is he'd sit down and just ask me questions and would let me answer them, similar to what you're doing now. And as I'm talking through these things, he's typing away, creating, you know, flow charts and this and that. You know, we put together my mission statement, et cetera. And all those things that, once again, I knew I needed, but there was no way I was ever going to get around to doing it, just given what my expertise is and the things that I like to do. So as we worked through that, though, we built out these systems and processes on the back end that have enabled me and our team, you know, to best support the franchise team that we have in all aspects of what we do.
Where do you spend your time now? I mean, now that you've got a remote team, I'm sure there's some aspect of it where you've got to manage that. But where are you spending the bulk of your time within the system?
Well, I mean, like today, Mondays are always my meeting days. So I meet with all the members of the team, either collectively or individually throughout the day, our support team, that is. Most of my time, though, is spent with the franchisees themselves. I still do a lot of the interview process for prospects, because the person or couple or family, who they are and will they be a good fit to our organization is the number one priority, mm-hmm. because of the culture that we've created. I also spend a lot of time, you know, teaching and training and thought process. We host mastermind groups regionally every month for an hour that I lead. We do a webinar once a month where we bring an outside expert or someone on our team who is an expert in a certain area that the team needs to learn more about in to do those. I do two podcasts a week that are private podcasts only for our franchise team. One of them is called SSV Tips, and it's just my thoughts on stuff that's going on internally within the business, short 5-7 minute conversations. And then the other is just called SSV Radio, where I do conversations with successful franchisees, outside experts who have skills and knowledge that could be beneficial to the team, et cetera. So there's a lot of stuff. I also have regular calls with the franchisees, one-on-one where possible, just to kind of get us, you know, check on the state of affairs for things and how we can work to improve what we're doing and how we serve them and how we become them even more successful.
That's tremendous. I mean, first of all, I didn't know that about the SSV tips and SSV radio for your people. I think that's genius. I think that's a really, really great way to add a lot of value and get a lot of valuable information to your folks in a way that they can consume whenever they're able.
Well, here's the thing. We just were spread all over the place. And initially I was a blogger for them. And what I found out was only about a third of the team was paying attention and even reading the blogs that I was putting out. And so as podcasting has grown, it has made just total sense because these guys, like with your show, these guys can be listening while they're driving to and from work, while they're mowing the lawn, while they're working out or on a plane somewhere, and be getting educated without having to give 100% focus to the education or teaching that's going on. The other thing that I love is it gives me an opportunity on a regular basis to shine the light on those within our team who are crushing it, who are doing cool things, who are innovating, who are coming up with new ideas, new ways of doing things. And it allows me to shine the light on them and let them talk, let them tell their story, let them share what they've figured out. Because I don't have all the answers. I don't want to have all the answers. And so I love that opportunity to utilize those stories and those successes to further educate. I'll never forget, I had a brand new franchisee. This was several years ago. Young couple, he was a homeschooler. His parents had joined our team early on and he had helped out for a few years. Well, he graduated from high school, within a month or two got married, and they moved from Central Texas down to Miami to start an SSV franchise. Well, after about 6 months, he reaches out to me one day. He says, "Matt, I had this situation happen where this principal ended up referring me to 7 other schools. She got on the phone while I was sitting in her office and referred me to all these schools," which he had then gone out and placed machines in. And I'm like, okay, how do I share this story? Really, writing a blog post? Nobody's going to get anything out of that.
That's right.
And it was like, man, if I could figure out a way to interview Jesse, then Jesse can tell his story. And it can be motivation and education for everybody on the team. So that's where that whole idea came from. And of course, I became a podcaster about 2.5 years ago. To date, we have over 200 episodes of SSV Radio and SSV Tips that are available now in the archive for all of our new franchisees, let alone those that have been around to listen to on a weekly basis as new shows come out. And it has become foundational to what we do today.
That's incredible, man. You're making me feel like a slouch, Matt. I mean, I've had a podcast for 3.5 years and I only have just under 200 episodes. You're killing me on the volume production. No, in all seriousness.
Quality, not quantity, Josh. Quality, not quantity.
Well, here's the deal with that, though. What I love is that it's a total, and I know this is a cliche, but it's true. It's a total win-win. And here's how. Your franchisees are benefiting so much from that, and that information is evergreen. They have it. They can go back to it whenever they want. It's at their fingertips. But here's the other deal. It shows how invested you are still in the business. And that's a big problem that I find in franchising, is where there, in many of them, there seems to be a disconnect between the franchisee and the franchisor, which what you're doing in with all these touching points and the podcast, there's a personalization to that, and you're continuing to provide that value week in and week out. So good on you, because that's exactly what you should be doing as the franchisor. Exactly.
Well, I mean, I continue to get paid a royalty by them each and every month, right? And so in my thought process, I need to continue to step up to the plate and continue to do my part to make sure that they are as wildly profitable as they can be, and so that they, you know, understand as many aspects of what we do as possible. And I think that if I weren't doing that, I'd be falling down in the job. You know, my job is not to sit and eat bonbons for the rest of my life because I came up with a good idea. My job is to continue to serve them on a weekly basis. Now, the beauty is, as you know, as a podcaster, I can batch this stuff. So I'll sit down and spend several days and produce, you know, several months worth of content. So it's not like I'm doing it all at once or having to get behind the microphone to record every week. But still, I'm providing two shows a week, every Tuesday and every Thursday, to that team. And it forces me to keep my head in the game and to stay on the ball and in order to be relevant to them, you know, every time that they, you know, turn on the podcast player.
Oh, that's great. Well, before I let you go, let me ask you, what are some challenges you're working through right now that you're in the process of working through? And the reason I ask is because I think people learn, people who are listening, they're all, you know, everybody has a different experience. But I know for myself, I learn well through stories. So I love hearing somebody share, you know, a challenge or even just something that in business that they're working towards and through, you know, right now. Because I think there's a lot of there's a lot of people experiencing a lot of their own challenges. It's always helpful to hear from somebody else and how you're working through that.
You know, I think one of the things is just a steady stream of prospective franchisees. I have found, and I'm sure every franchise is the same, but there's a lot of up and down. And oftentimes, I don't have a lot of control over where some of these people come from. And the reason why I say that is because there are some parts of the country where we're completely sold out. And so, you know, figuring that nut out and figuring out how to reach certain parts of the country where we're not or where we have holes. As you know, Josh, it's pretty expensive to do all the legal every year, to do what we have to do to stay a franchise, yeah, and to continue to register, especially in some of these states we've registered now the last several years and don't have a single person, you know, in that state yet. So we're looking at how to better focus and target so that moving forward, we're making a better use of our resources when it comes to what states that we're going to kind of focus on at any given time. But then also just to have a steadier stream of folks using some other tools to keep the leads coming in so that we have a little bit less up and down. A year ago, I was wall to wall, you know, appointments 12 to 16 hours a day for a couple of months because we had such a huge spike in the number of people reaching out. And that was awesome, don't get me wrong. But then there's been other times in the last, you know, over this last summer as an example, several months where it was just down to a trickle. And it's really, really hard when you've got a team that you're, you know, needing to make payroll with and everything else to do that when you don't have a pipeline that is keeping folks busy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you being transparent and sharing that because that's a common problem for a lot of people. And you know, there are the peaks and the valleys and the spikes and so forth. And part of the thing is you're just competing against a lot of other systems and a lot of other noise and trying to attract the people. You know, you have a big, wide marketplace, but you're competing for people's attention. to be able to,
yeah, no
to
say,
hey, here you are. And so that can always be a challenge. Well, Matt, I won't take up any more of your time. You've been so generous with it now twice on the show. You and I have become friends and I value that. And I think you're a tremendous guy doing a lot of tremendous things. For folks who want to reach out to you, I believe they can go to ssvbusiness.com. That's samsamvbusiness.com. And what's a good way to get a hold of you specifically if they, or somebody on your team, I should say, if they have an interest in the franchise?
I wrote a short ebook, Josh, called Live Your Dreams, the top 10 reasons why you need to own a vending business. And they can go to ssvbusiness.com/franchiseeuphoria and download that ebook for free. And we can begin a dialogue from there if they like. If not, at least it will give them some insights about vending itself. And if that's something that they're interested in, you know, they can take that route. For those where the franchise doesn't make sense, I did recently publish a course called Vending Secrets to Passive Income. It can be found at vendingsecrets.net. And it's just an encapsulation of my 13 years of experience in the industry. A lot of insights that they can't find anywhere else. From a guy who's literally gone from one gumball machine to today having a national franchise in vending. And so anyway, hopefully in one way, shape or form in one of those two areas, we can help them and help them take advantage of vending in some way, shape or form.
Well, that's great. Keep up the good work. You got the trifecta. You're a good man. You got a good business and you got a great model. So I think you're going to find continued success. Thank you again so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you, man. God bless.
Thanks for being with us today on the Franchise Euphoria podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to go to iTunes and provide a review. Also, please remember that although Josh Brown is a licensed and practicing attorney, nothing contained in this podcast should be construed as legal advice, because it is not. The information contained in this podcast is general and educational in nature, and none of it should be relied upon as legal advice. That being said, if you have questions for Josh and would like to contact him, please email him at josh@franchiseeuphoria.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you tune in to our next weekly episode.